Uri. I'm shocked he's even talking to me. I figured I'd pretty much blown it.
So what are you wishing for?
He asks, taking off his hat as he drops down on the ground next to me, uninvited. His face is flushed, hair damp, and his eyes are slightly glazed, like he's really tired. I remember my brother always having that look when he came home from practice. I think about my answer for a second while I watch him settle in next to me. I don't wish, I decide. Not for things that can be taken care of by delicate white pixies surfing aimlessly on haphazard currents of air anyway. He looks disappointed. I'm not playing right. I'm supposed to make up some cute thing I want more than anything in the world. And then he's supposed to spin me a web of bullshit about all the ways he could make that thing happen. Of course he couldn't, and I wouldn't. So we're left to our own devices.
Everyone wishes,
he insists. Not me. I would look so much tougher if I had a cigarette hanging out of my mouth. I'm not to be messed with. That's the impression I want to give him. I'm not naive or stupid. In fact, I'm not even nice. Now he looks more than disappointed. He looks like he wants to wish on a weed that he hadn't just sat down next to me. He doesn't say anything as he looks out at the nothing, at all the people who are not here and thus will not rescue him. Well, okay, I start. Out of the corner of my eye, I can see that he's stopped sweeping the deck for a life jacket and faces me now. Even if I did wish for something, and I'm not saying that that's what I was doing, I still wouldn't tell you what it is. I steal a glance. He's grinning. He's cute, and he knows it, too. The sun filters through his irises, pulling out all these kaleidoscopic caramel and mahogany colors that had been hiding behind chocolate. I have to force myself to stop looking. He inches closer. I feel my heart accelerate.
Because then it won't come true, right?
He asks. I nod. Exactly.
Yeah, but do they ever really come true anyway, even when you don't tell?
Interesting tactic, playing to my cynicism. He's good. You have a point, I admit. I can see his mind working as he looks at me, deciding which move, which play to make in order to win, to beat me.
You know, I did a project once on the life cycle of dandelions,
he tells me, nodding toward the now empty stem in my hand.
Second grade or something like that.
I don't think this is in the script. I rack my brain. No, I don't have anything to say to that. He reaches somewhere behind us and picks something out of the ground. I hear the flimsy stem snap. I just silently tap my shoe against the yellow weed at my foot.
Well, you know how they're yellow at first? And then after the petals fall off, you get that white, fluffy stuff so the seeds can float away?
He asks, examining the one he just plucked from the ground. I nod.
See, this one is sort of in between.
He holds it close to my face so I can get a better look.
The yellow petals are gone, and the white's starting to come through, but they're not really light enough to start flying away yet.
He blows at it, but nothing happens. We are so close, I can feel his breath on my skin, feel the warmth radiating from his body. He looks directly into my eyes as he waits for some kind of response on my part, but his breath and warmth and eyes undermine my ability to think or speak or understand anything other than his breath and warmth and eyes. I finally force myself to just look away.
Well,
he continues after I don't respond.
They're pretty hard to find. I had to track down a dandelion at every stage of growth for that project, and you'd be surprised how rare these ones are.
I dare myself to look him in the eye again, but I can't hold it for long, so I refocus on the dandelion.
I guess that's not very interesting, is it?
He rests his elbows on his knees and lets the weed dangle between his fingers. I smile. I did actually think it was a little interesting, but I'm not about to tell him that.
Nice out,
he says, looking up at the sky. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
He sighs. I feel bad for him. He is probably really good at making small talk with girls. This isn't his fault.
So, what are you still doing here?
He asks, the silence rapidly becoming unbearable. Just waiting for my friend. You?
I'm waiting for my ride. I just got out of practice.
Did you, like, get hurt or something? I gesture to the bandage around his knee.
No, it just acts up sometimes. It's fine, though.
He smiles slowly as he stares at me. Oh. I nod, looking away, careful not to appear too concerned about him, or anything for that matter.
So,
he says, nervously twirling the dandelion between his thumb and index finger.
You have me in suspense. You know that, right?
Oh, I say again. Sorry.
So should I just take that as a no?
He asks, still smiling.
It's okay. I just don't want to keep feeling like such an idiot.
He laughs. And I want to laugh at the fact that he's the one feeling like an idiot here. I wish I could somehow make him understand that I want to say no as much as I want to say yes. No, that's not it. I just... But I can't finish because I don't even fully understand it myself.
Well, what is it?
I don't know, I mumble. The shape of his mouth looks a little confused, uncertain if it should smile or frown.
Are you doing this on purpose? I really can't tell.
Doing what?
Screwing with me. Not giving me a straight answer.
No, I'm really not. I swear. His eyebrows pull together, a vertical line forming in the center of his forehead. He looks at me appraisingly.
Forget it,
he finally says.
I just can't seem to get you right, I guess.
With this sad, awkward smile and a wave of his hand.
Forget it, really.
Yes, I hear myself say, because maybe this is my chance, a second chance, to be initiated into all this boy-girl stuff.
Wait, yes?
He looks at me closely, his eyes lighting up.
So you're actually saying yes?
I take a deep breath and repeat it. Yes.
Finally,
he yells, raising his arms to the sky, laughing.
Tomorrow night, are you free?
Yeah, I guess. Just as he's about to say something else, a car pulls in at the far end of the lot. A navy blue, hearse-looking vehicle, most definitely a parent's car.
Shit, that's my ride. Here.
He takes my hand. Wait, I pull away. What are you doing?
Hold on,
he says with a laugh.
It's okay, it won't kill you. Just relax,
he says in this soothing, dreamy way that probably makes other girls melt. He unclenches my fingers and puts something there in my palm. I look down. It's the dandelion, the in-between one. He stands and shoulders his bag.
So let's just meet here after school tomorrow?
I nod.
Cool.
He smiles.
Okay.
He gets into the hearse car with a woman who I assume must be his mother in the driver's seat. She waves her hand in my direction. I turn around to look behind me, but she's waving at me, I realize, as he sits in the passenger seat looking embarrassed. I raise my arm and wave back. Does she need a ride? I hear her ask through the unrolled window. He says either no or go. I can't tell which. After the car drives off, I pull out my planner and open it to this week. Then I carefully set the soft white weed in the binding and close it gently between the pages. I hear shuffling on the tennis courts. I glance behind me and do a double take. It's Amanda, standing with her fingers wrapped through the chain-link fence, staring at me. Hey! I call over to her, but she turns and starts walking. Hey! I stand up and run over to the gate that leads inside the court. What are you doing just standing there? I yell, catching up with her quickly. Spying on me? No, and I can stand wherever I want. She crosses her arms and looks me up and down, her face changing slowly, her upper lip curling into this snarl of disgust. Why don't you just mind your own business, Mandy? I start to shove past her, but I swing back around, my heart tugging on my courage. Wait, what is your problem exactly? I don't have a problem, she answers. Seems like it to me. I cross my arms as well, trying to calm down, trying to look as formidable as she somehow does. She steps in close to me, like that day on the front steps. And if I didn't know her better, I would think she was actually about to hit me. My name is not Mandy, she growls. She stalks off the tennis courts without another word. I barely sleep at all that night, so I wake up early and get ready, before Mom and Dad even. Nobody's at school yet by the time I get there. The burnt stench of cheap coffee wafts out from the teacher's lounge, but there's not a person in sight. I go into the girls' bathroom on the first floor and open the window to sneak a cigarette while no one's around. I try to get my head together in here. I'm so terrified about seeing him later today, I can hardly think straight. I consider going home sick. That would be a good excuse. If only I didn't actually want to see him later. I hear someone coming. I toss my cigarette and slam the window shut. This time of the morning, it has to be a teacher. I race into one of the stalls and lock it behind me. Stepping up onto the toilet seat, I hold my breath and wait. The door screeches open and two voices whisper frantically to each other.
Hurry up, hurry up. Lock it. Lock it now. Okay, I got it. Here, here. Hurry, hurry,
they whisper breathlessly. Their sheer excitement makes me need to know more. I cautiously position myself to look through the crack between the door and the wall of the stall, careful not to make a sound. That's when I see her. Amanda. I can't seem to get away from her lately.
Okay, here, she says to this other girl, another freshman I've seen around, always with this snarky look on her face, handing her a marker.
All right, what are we writing again? Snarky girl asks, staring at the wall.
You know, slut, whore, skank, bitch, whatever.
All true, so just take your pick, Amanda tells her. Armed with two wide-tipped permanent markers, they approach the bathroom wall. Amanda goes first. She presses the spongy tip of the marker against the grimy, pale pink tiles, and it squeaks as I watch her carefully write the words, Eden McCrory is a whore. I can barely believe it. I can barely breathe. Then Snarky steps up and draws a little arrow between the words A and whore and writes in this sickeningly self-assured scrawl, totally slutty disgusting.
How's that? She asks Amanda with a smile.
Perfect. And why is she a totally slutty disgusting whore again? She laughs.
Trust me, she just is, Amanda says as they stand back and admire their work. Besides, she practically screwed some guy out by the tennis courts after school yesterday, she lies.
I cover my mouth with my hand. I would have killed her, would have pushed her out the window. I would have screamed at the top of my lungs at her. Except I'm paralyzed.
Oh, gross, Snarky shouts.
Yeah, completely, Amanda agrees. Okay, come on, we don't have much time. Then they leave. I let them leave, but I still can't move. I'm frozen, crouched on top of the toilet, my mouth hanging open, my hand still covering it. I don't know how much time goes by before I snap out of it. I push open the stall door and walk up to the wall in absolute disbelief. I touch the black, inky, hateful words with my fingers. I hear a voice in the hall, and a locker slams shut. People are getting here. I quickly pull a whole armful of paper towels out of the dispenser and soak them in soap and water. Then I go to the wall and scrub, scrub, scrub against those words, using the strength of my whole body until I can't even catch my breath, until I'm crying. I look at the wall. The words still stare back at me, unchanged. I let the sopping wad of paper towels fall to the floor. I clench my fists, digging my fingernails into my palms, wanting to punch the wall, wanting to punch anything. Just then, these three pretty, popular senior girls push through the door mid-conversation. They assemble in front of the mirror. I turn my back to them as I wipe my eyes dry. Then I walk to the sink to wash the wet paper towel crumbs off my hands.
Oh, ouch, one of them shouts.
My head snaps up to look at her. She points to the wall with her mascara wand and says,
Someone's been a bad girl.
They all laugh. My heart feels like a bird trapped in a cage in my chest, its wings flapping violently against the bars of bone. I want to smash this girl's pretty face into the mirror so hard. Then another one of them asks, Who the hell is Eden McCrory anyway?
A whore, apparently, the third girl answers, laughing.
No, the first girl corrects.
A totally slutty, disgusting whore, you mean?
And they cackle like little witches, following one after the other back out into the hallway. I just stand there and let them get away with talking about me like that. I race out into the hall, my head in a fog, determined to find those girls and tell them they can't treat me like that, to tell them it's all lies, to go find Amanda and pound her into the ground. But I stop after only a few steps. The halls are beginning to fill with people and noise, and those girls have dispersed already. I go to my locker instead. I try to act like nothing's different, try to just get through the day as if I don't know, as if there's nothing to know. I manage to avoid every single person who knows me, but Mara finds me in the library during lunch.
"Hey,"
she whispers, coming up behind me as I'm shelving books.
"Can I talk to you for a sec?"
It was inevitable. I let her pull me by the arm deeper into the aisle.
"So, Edie,"
she begins, "I have to tell you something. It's bad. But before I do, remember, it will be okay.
I think you should know."
"I know," I tell her.
"You do?"
she asks, her face in a grimace. I nod, try to smile, shrug like I don't even care.
"It's insane. I don't know who would start rumors like that, about you of all people."
"I don't know," I lie.
"Well, Cameron and I went through all the bathrooms and tried to scribble them out. We've been doing that all morning, so it's okay.
I hoped you wouldn't have to see it, though," she admits. "Cameron went into the girls' bathroom?"
"No, the boys' bathrooms. I hadn't even considered they would have gone into the boys' bathrooms, too."
"Thank you for doing that, Mara. I mean it. I think everyone's seen it already, though," I tell her.
"Can't undo that."
I laugh bitterly.
"Well, fuck everyone," she says too loudly, and a bunch of heads turn toward us. "I'm really sorry, Edie," she whispers. "I don't understand this at all."
She's so sad, it's almost like it's happening to her and not me.
"Want to come over tonight? We can eat all kinds of junk food and just veg out,"
she tries.
"I can't. I actually have plans."
"You do? With who?" she asks, shocked. I look around to make sure no one can hear and lower my voice so that I'm barely speaking.
"Josh. Joshua Miller." "Oh my God, are you serious?"
she whispers, her smile stretching wide.
"How did this happen?"
"I don't know, it just happened. He asked me out."
"Edie?"
Mara's smile suddenly contracts.
"You don't think it was him, do you? Because if it was, then you definitely don't want to go out with him, right?"
"It wasn't him."
"Yeah, but how can you be sure?"
she asks, rightfully suspicious. "I'm positive," I assure her, but she doesn't look convinced.
"Edie, I'm worried now. You're going to be really careful, right?"
she asks, her voice trembling faintly.
"Because he's kind of from this whole different world. He's older. I mean, what if he's expecting something, you know?"
"So what if he is?" I answer immediately. "I don't know. Maybe that wouldn't be such a bad thing."
"Really?"
she asks in disbelief.
But aren't you afraid?"
"No," I lie. "I am afraid. But in this other way, I'm also more afraid of being afraid. Afraid of not doing it, too. Afraid that maybe I would be too afraid to ever do it. That Kevin would continue to control me in these ways I had never even dreamed of. And suddenly, the thought of having someone else there in place of him is something I required, wanted, needed, in the most severe of ways. And I don't really care who. Anyone else at all will do. This guy Josh, he's good enough. He did, after all, pick me a weed. Maybe the rumors aren't such a lie after all, I muse.
"Shut up, Edie," Mara says, her face completely straight. "Don't you ever say that again. That's not true, and you know it."
"Sorry," I tell her. She stares at me for a second too long, like she wants to keep arguing the point, but she doesn't.
"I'm sorry," I repeat. "Edie, you have to be sure," she says firmly. "If you're going to do it, like, really, really sure. It's not like you get to take it back if you..."
But I have to stop her. "Don't worry, okay? Who knows if anything will even happen," I lie, trying to make her feel better.
"Oh, God,"
she moans, both horrified and delighted at even the possibility.
"Joshua Miller. That's big."
Like, huge. I grin in spite of my fear at the thought of things being different. The thought of me being different. Yeah, I guess it is. I stand on the sidewalk near the tennis courts after school. It feels like I've been waiting for hours, but it's only been 7 minutes. I'll give him 3 more, and then I walk. I adjusted my hair and makeup in the bathroom before I left. I brushed my teeth. I even wore my new silky floral dress that I got before school started. I run my hands through my hair one more time. Just as I'm considering making a break for it, I see him walking toward me.
"Hey, you're really here?"
he says, greeting me with that smile. I said I would be. I smile back.
"I know, exactly. That's why I wasn't sure,"
he says with a laugh.
"Come on."
He reaches for my hand. My heart stops. He doesn't seem to notice as he leads us through the parking lot that everyone is staring at us. He stops at the blue station wagon that picked him up yesterday and lets me in first. When he gets on the driver's side, he starts the car and looks at me sweetly.
"You look really nice, Eden."
I mumble, "Thanks," and look out the window so he doesn't catch me blushing. But that's when I see these guys. Guys I'm sure he's friends with, staring and pointing and laughing.
"So, where you want to go?"
he asks me, clearly not seeing what I'm seeing, not living in the world I'm living in. "Anywhere but here."
"Okay,"
he says with a laugh.
"Are you hungry?"
I shrug. I don't feel like eating after the day I've had.
"Okay, movie?"
Is there anywhere to go where there won't be other people around? I try to laugh, even though I'm entirely serious.
"Mostly everywhere has people around these days."
He grins, still expecting an answer.
"My parents were doing something tonight, so I borrowed my mom's car just so I could take you somewhere. So come on, just name a place, any place, and we'll go."
"What are your parents doing?" I ask, an idea forming in my mind. He looks at me like I might be crazy.
"I promise they aren't doing anything we'd want to do if you're looking for ideas."
"No, I just mean, what if we went to your house? No one's there, right?" He looks confused for a moment, but then a wave of clarity passes over his face.
Sure. I guess we could. Isn't there somewhere else you'd rather go, though?"
he asks, putting the car in drive. "Not unless you know of some uninhabited island we could go to and be back by 10 for my curfew." He just smiles as he pulls away. Next thing I know, we're in the middle of his bedroom, standing opposite each other.
"So,"
he says, shuffling through a stack of CDs on his dresser.
"Do you want to listen to anything?"
He still listens to CDs. That's unusual. But my mind is racing too fast to follow that thought any further. "Sure."
"What do you like?"
he asks. "Anything." He selects one of the CDs. It starts quiet and slow. He stares at me. He puts his hands in his pockets. He takes them back out. I shift my weight.
"You like this?"
he asks. I think he's talking about the music, but I also wonder if he means this as in being here with him. The answer is the same either way, so I tell him the truth. "Not sure yet." He sits down on his bed and gestures for me to follow. I feel everything inside of me start to race and pulse as I move to the bed. I could never have imagined a year earlier I would be in the bedroom of the guy I so violently had the urge to bludgeon to death that day in the hall. I find myself evaluating every detail of the situation. Him, me, the distance between us. The way his comforter feels soft against my legs, and everything smells like clean laundry. The sports posters on his walls, the hardwood floors, the curtains parted just slightly. I try hard to keep breathing as the fear tightens its knot around my heart. His lips are also slightly parted. I wait for him to speak, but he doesn't. My jaw is clamped so tight my teeth throb. I study his face closer than I have before. His nose, I thought at first, seemed large, except it's not, actually. Aquiline, my brain whispers, flashing back to 7th grade when I had to look up the word after reading it in Sherlock Holmes. But now I can't imagine a nose that belongs more perfectly to a face. And his eyes again, The colors seem different every time. I look down at my hands in my lap, my fingers twisting around one another, and I wonder if his mind is racing like mine, if his brain is working in overdrive just to understand my face. Somehow, I think not.
So,
he begins,
you're Kaylin McCrory's sister, or something, right?
Yeah, so?
I don't know.
He shrugs.
Just conversation. We played together. He was a cool guy. I mean, I didn't actually know that he's your brother. I asked around about you. That's all anyone really could tell me. You're a mystery.
He grins, raising his eyebrows. I don't know what I'm supposed to say to that, though. I'm not such a mystery? Not so hard to unravel? And what about me being a slut all of a sudden? Hadn't he heard that one? He smiles out of the corner of his mouth and asks me,
What? You don't want to talk?
Not about my brother. He makes a sound like, psh, and I can't tell if it's a laugh or just an exhale, but then he adds quietly,
Yeah, me neither.
He has this gravelly, running words together way of speaking, like he's not thinking much about how he sounds. Not like Kevin. Kevin always enunciates his words so that they come out smooth and hard and precise and borderline loud. His voice is different, but everything about him is different. This is going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. He smiles again and reaches out to touch my cheek, so lightly. I think my heart stops. Nodding his head toward the space between us, he says,
Why are you way over there?
I slide toward him slowly. He leans in. I close my eyes. It's too intense, too frightening to watch. I feel his lips press against mine. He's kissing me. I try to let him. Try not to think of the last time a boy's mouth was on my mouth. I try to kiss back like this isn't my first kiss, because I have never been kissed. Not really. I force myself to kiss him back. Kiss him back with everything I have in me, because I can. I can. I can do this. Before I even know how he does it, he somehow managed to lower me down onto the bed and I'm on my back. He drapes his leg over mine, nimbly shifting his weight. His body slides in right next to mine. But just when I start to feel like this might really be okay, like this might actually have the potential to feel something other than terrifying, I feel his fingers trail down my neck. My stomach clenches because I can't forget the fact of the matter that the last time a boy had his hands on my neck, he was choking me. Normal. Be normal, I tell myself. This is different, but his hand on my thigh, I go rigid. Can't get the thing out of my mind because he could. So what if he has chocolate eyes or an aquiline nose or a magnetic smile? Technically, he could do it. Could do anything he wanted, and I wouldn't be strong enough to stop him. And no one would even know because we're here all alone, and how the hell did I get here again? What was I thinking? His hand moves farther up my thigh. My dress slides up even more. I want to push him off me. I want to run. My heart is just pounding, banging, slamming behind my ribs. He pulls his mouth away and looks at my face. I try not to look scared, but I freeze.
What's wrong?
He asks quietly.
You want me to stop?
I can't say yes, but I can't say no either. I close my eyes, trying to find the words, but the instant I do, I'm back there, with Kevin. Kevin holding my arms down against the bed, and his hands, his fingers like dull knives, slowly carving their way down to the bone. The more I tried to get away, the more he had me. I couldn't believe how strong he was, how weak I was. I open my eyes. I'm barely breathing. Too much time has passed. It's something worse than silence, this quiet. I know I need to say something, but I don't know what. So I just look up at the ceiling and breathe the words, I have to go. Too quietly for him to even hear.
What?
I don't know, I whisper, because I don't know. I don't know anything right now.
No, I know,
he breathes. But as I raise my head to look at his face, he doesn't look like he knows or understands. He looks as confused as I am. His fingers move through my hair as he leans in to kiss me again. I really, I start to say, pushing my hands against his chest. I have to go. But my hands do nothing. They can't move him. They can't even budge him an inch. I have to go, I shout this time. His eyes widen as he shifts his weight off me. I sit up fast and move to the edge of the bed. He catches my arm and pulls me back.
Wait.
What? My voice is too sharp, but I can't help it. My instincts tell me that I should start screaming, start hitting him, that I should saw, cut, gnaw the arm he's holding off my own body if it means getting away. But then again, my instincts are kind of fucked up now, so I adjust my tone and try again, more calmly. What?
Nothing, just... What's going on? Why do you have to go?
I look down at his hand, still holding onto my arm, and he lets go.
I thought we were going to...
Thought we were going to what? I interrupt, feeling my eyes widen.
Nothing, not that,
he says quickly.
I thought we were going to go out, go do something. I just thought we had time. I'm just confused. One second you're into it, the next you're leaving? I mean, did I do something?
He asks, talking fast. I watch him closely. I don't even know how to answer him. Did he do something? Or is this just normal? Is this just what people do? My thoughts are spinning. I don't know what I feel or think or want.
You're the one who wanted to come here,
he says, but not in an unkind way, like he's truly reminding me of that fact. I changed my mind, okay?
Okay,
he says, like it really is okay. We both sit there next to each other at the end of his bed. I straighten out my dress. He adjusts his shirt. And then it's that horrible silence again. I look out his bedroom window. The sun is beginning to set. I think I should go. Right here's good, I tell him, as we approach the corner of my street. He stops the car and looks around, confused.
Where's your house?
Just over there. This is fine. He pulls in close to the curb and turns the headlights off.
So, are we cool?
He asks. Yeah, I think so. He nods.
Okay. Well, even though I don't really consider this an actual date since we didn't technically go anywhere, can I still kiss you goodnight?
He asks with that smile. I look around quickly to make sure there's no one around. When I turn my head back, he's already there, leaning in. He kisses me, just once, softly.
Tomorrow night,
he begins.
You know, we have that big away game, but after, there's going to be this party. Do you want to go?
I don't think so. I can imagine all his friends pointing and whispering, those pretty girls from the bathroom laughing, Josh a witness, or worse, a participant.
Why not?
He asks, offended. This is, after all, a highly coveted invitation. I am being given a chance to rub elbows with kings and queens of proms and homecomings, past and future. And I, just a lowly mortal peasant, have the gall to turn him down. Because I don't... How to say it, though? I don't want to be your girlfriend. He rolls his eyes, shakes his head, stifles a laugh. Apparently not that way. He looks straight ahead for a few seconds, then turns to me in the passenger seat.
Okay,
he says slowly, the way he did that day in the hall a year earlier when I was still just Invisible Mouse Girl.
I didn't ask you to be my girlfriend. I just asked if you wanted to go to this party.
Well, I don't. There's this authority in my voice I never knew I possessed.
Fine.
He tries to act nonchalant. I keep my eyes on the dashboard. The clock changes from 6:51 to 6:52.
So, this is it then?
He asks. I shrug. Maybe. Maybe not. So cool. So calm. So collected. How am I doing it?
I'm sorry, I don't get you. What exactly are we doing then?
He asks, an edge of irritation in his voice. I don't know. Couldn't we just get together sometimes? Just you know, keep it casual? I ask him, the words flowing from my mouth like they actually belong to me. He looks skeptical as he takes a few moments to consider.
I think that's probably the strangest thing a girl has ever said to me. You really don't want to go to this thing with me tomorrow night?
He asks again, unable to understand.
It wouldn't have to mean anything.
Look, I'm not going to argue about it. If you don't want to see me again, that's fine, okay? But if you do, then this is the way it's going to be. The way it is, I mean. He inhales through his nose, exhales slowly through his mouth. I sigh loudly. Feign impatience, fingers tickling the handle, ready to open the door and bolt.
I don't know,
he finally says, hesitantly. I leave without another word. I know he's watching me as I walk toward my house. I make sure I don't turn around until I hear the engine fade into the silence surrounding me. I look. Nothing but two red taillights glowing in the distance. By Monday, I start to notice something about the way people are looking at me. Like the world has suddenly divided into two distinct camps. The first is the one I'm used to, the one where no one knows I'm alive. But then there's this other faction emerging, one that throws looks of every type my way. Disgust, pity, intrigue. I'm not sure if it's because of the graffiti or if it's due to the public departure with Josh on Friday. Or both. But not here in the library. Here, I'm safe. With all the subjects and letters and numbers to keep things in order. Philosophy, social sciences, languages, technology, literature. A, B, C, D, point 1, point 2, point 1, 2, point 3. It all makes so much sense. There's no room for mistakes or misunderstandings.
Hey,
he says, suddenly standing with me in the narrow aisle. I jump, nearly dropping the book I'm holding. You scared me, I whisper.
Again,
he says with a grin.
Sorry.
He stands really still, like he's afraid to come any closer.
Still mad at me?
He asks. You're the one who was mad, not me. Though that's not completely the truth, either.
I was never mad. Just confused.
I want to tell him I was confused, too. I want to tell him how happy I am to see him. How thankful I am he's not looking at me the way everyone else has been looking at me today. But I can't admit that. I have to be sure and strong and solid because there's something about him, I don't know what exactly, that makes me want so badly to be vulnerable.
Look, can we just start over?
He asks. If anyone is going to be allowed to start over, it would be me, and I would start over at that night in my bedroom. But since that's not possible, I tell him, no, not really. He looks down at his hands like he actually feels bad or upset or disappointed or something.
Right,
he whispers, turning to leave. But we can just... I touch his arm. He turns back. Continue. Can't we? I finish. He takes a step toward me, this new light in his eyes.
Yeah, I think we can.
I nod, and I smile to myself. Because I just fixed this. Me.
Does this mean we're on a phone number basis?
He asks. I guess so, I say with a laugh. He laughs too as he takes his phone out. I recite my number to him, never wanting this moment, him standing close to me like this, smiling, to end. Since we are now on a phone number basis, I decide it's time to lay down some ground rules when he calls me to invite me over later that night. Before I come over again, I just want to make sure you really understand that this isn't going to be like a boyfriend-girlfriend thing.
Yeah, you made that pretty clear before.
I mean, we're not going to go out on dates or anything like that. I don't want to be introduced to your friends. I don't want to go parading down the halls holding hands or having you wait for me by my locker. I'm definitely not going to be the girl cheering you on from the sidelines at your basketball games.
Wow. You sure know how to make a guy feel real special, don't you?
He says, a trace of a laugh behind his voice. It's not about you, I tell him, and I can't believe how utterly selfish I sound, how utterly selfish I am.
Okay, anything else?
And I never, ever, ever want to meet your parents.
Well, that's one thing we can agree on.
Oh. Wow, that stings. I guess that's a taste of how I must be making him feel.
It's not about you,
he mimics pointedly. Okay. There's a pause.
Eden, how old are you?
Why?
I don't know, just wondering. It's hard to tell. You seem...
He stops himself from finishing. I seem what?
You seem... I don't know. This all feels either really mature or completely the opposite.
Do you really think calling me immature is going to help you in any way? I laugh. I'm almost amused. Or completely offended. It's hard to tell.
No, 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 that's not what I'm saying.
He backpedals.
I'm actually saying you seem mature.
Or the complete opposite, I remind him.
I didn't mean that.
He laughs.
Really, what are you, though? Like 16?
Sure, I lie. 14. But my birthday is coming soon, and then I'll be 15, which is like 16. Okay, you answer me now. Yes or no? What do you think? I ask him. After considering my list of commandments for several seconds, he breathes in and exhales.
I think you're really weird.
He pauses.
But I still want you to come over again.
I feel my mouth curve into a smile. So that night, he smuggles me past his parents and up the stairs to his bedroom. And the next night, and practically every night for the past week. And each day, things seem to go just a little further, his hands wandering over my body with just a little more freedom, like he's testing the limits. But this is it. The night. I decided before I even got to his house. He told me earlier his parents are out of town at his cousin's wedding. Perfect. Because I can't stand the anticipation of it anymore. It needs to just happen already, so I can stop being scared every second we're together. Worrying about what it will be like, what he'll do, how he'll act, if he'll hurt me. And me, what I'll do, how I'll feel. Except tonight, with my mind all made up, I'm more than scared. I'm so terrified, I'm almost unable to breathe. I think I feel a rash working up my fingers to my hand, to my wrist, to my forearm, to my whole body, to my brain, and oh God, I have this bullet stuck inside of me and I might throw up. We stand next to his bed. He moves in to kiss me. Be normal. Be normal, Edie, I tell myself. Be normal, I repeat in my head. Now. I take a breath and pull away from his kiss. I start unbuttoning my shirt. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 buttons. My hands are shaking. They barely work. God, why did I pick a button shirt anyway? I look up. He's staring at my new bra. It's lacy and purple and matches my underwear. I let the shirt fall off my shoulders. I try inconspicuously to glance at my arm. It looks fine, no rash. I'm fine. I'm fine, and this is fine. I exhale. Everything is fine, fine, fine. I coax the heels of my sneakers off with my toes and nudge them to the side. I unbutton my jeans, unzip them, slide them down over my hips, my butt, my thighs. I look down at my feet. Socks. You can't have sex in socks. That's idiotic. I try not to tip over while I pull them off and stuff them in my shoes. The floor feels like ice on my feet. He's still fully dressed, just staring, making me feel ugly and stupid. I start thinking maybe he's disappointed with what he sees. I know, of course, I'm not the prettiest, not the sexiest. I feel my arms twist together in front of my chest. I suddenly want to run. Run far and hard and fast away from him, myself, my life, my past, my future, everything. He snaps out of it right away. His shirt brushes against my skin as he pulls it up over his head and lets it fall on top of my pile of clothes. His socks pull off with his sneakers. The space between us rapidly closing in, His hands on my waist so suddenly make me flinch. No, jump. No, lurch away from him like some kind of wild, deranged rabbit animal. I stumble over my shoes and my legs crash into the bed frame. He pulls back, looking confused. I'm so stupid. My face burns. I want to die, hide, disappear. Sorry, we both say at the same time.
Are you okay?
He extends an arm as if to help me stabilize, but doesn't dare touch me again. I'm fine, I snap. He takes a step back, puts his hands in his pockets, and tries very hard not to stare at my bra.
Listen, you don't have to. I mean, we don't have to. If...
He stops talking because I'm unbuttoning his pants. He stops thinking because now I'm unzipping them. He stops breathing because I pull his hands out of his pockets and put them on my waist again. And then my heart and lungs and brain stop too because my underwear are suddenly around my ankles, and so are his. And I feel his body against mine, and then we're in the bed and our legs are tangled and things are happening so fast, and his hands are all over me and my hands are shaking and I don't know where to put them and I hope he doesn't notice. He stops kissing me. I open my eyes. He's looking down at my naked body. I, too, look down at my body, but all I can see is just one huge, gaping wound that somehow seems to still hurt everywhere sometimes. I hope he doesn't notice that, either. He touches my skin lightly, like it's something that should be touched lightly, and he speaks slow when he says,
Eden, you're really...
Shh. Please. Please. I stop him before he can finish. Don't say anything. Because whatever he thinks I am, I'm not. And whatever he thinks my body is, it isn't. My body is a torture chamber. It's a fucking crime scene. Hideous things have happened here. It's nothing to talk about. Nothing to comment on. Not out loud. Not ever. I won't hear it. I can't. He looks at me like I'm crazy and mean and rude.
I was just gonna say that you're...
And since maybe I am crazy and mean and rude, I interrupt him again. I know, but just don't. Please don't say it. Whatever it is, just...
Fine. Okay. I won't.
He looks like maybe he thinks this has just officially stopped being worth it. I concentrate hard on doing this nicely, and I try not to look at his body because his body terrifies me. But I take my arms and wrap them around his back. My fingertips tremble against his skin, tracing outlines of bone and muscle. I pull him down so that his chest and stomach touch mine. He kisses me carefully, like I might be this fragile thing that needs to be handled with caution. But it feels too nice, too sweet, too meant for someone else, someone more like who I used to be, or rather, who I would have been. He reaches for something from the nightstand next to his bed. I only realize what it is when he tears the wrapper open. The sound rips through my brain. It shakes something loose inside of me, and it's from this shaken place deep within that I want him to know everything. I want to stop time and tell him every moment of my life right up until this one, because he has no idea who I really am. I want him to know how innocent I still feel right now somehow. To know exactly what I'm entrusting him with. But it's all too much to be held in this small, urgent space. I can't keep my thoughts still long enough to even understand them. My heart races dangerously fast. My skin burns. My chest tightens. My lungs seem to go rigid. I'm not breathing quite right. I know that much. My fingers and toes tingle. Things begin to go out of focus, then back in and out again. Like looking through a kaleidoscope, it makes me dizzy. The room, the way it's spinning, the way the world ceases to make any sense at all. I hear this buzzing in the background like static. Static pulsing through brain waves, electric currents floating around in this strange place, making the air feel nervous, activated somehow.
You okay?
He asks softly. I nod. Of course I'm okay. Of course.
Okay.
He breathes in my mouth as he moves in to kiss me again, stroking my face and hair so gently, This, I'm sure, is the way he always kissed his perfectly respectable, perfectly normal, well-adjusted ex-girlfriends. Those soft, breakable creatures that never harbored secret bullets in their guts. He shifts his weight off of me. In all my planning and preparing and imagining, the realness of this moment had escaped me. Just a year earlier, I was still wearing those damn days of the week underwear. And now I am lying on my back, naked in a bed, watching a guy I barely know put on a condom. This is real. This is actually my life. And it's happening. It's happening right now. No turning back. Not that I want to. There's nothing to turn back to. Nothing good, anyway. I want to get as far away from the past as possible. Be as different from that girl as I can.
Okay, you're sure?
I nod. I've only been this terrified once. I can feel my heart pumping. I can feel the blood at first rushing through my veins. But then I get the distinct feeling that it stopped rushing, stopped pulsing, stopped coursing, and is just seeping out, uncontained, flooding my whole body, and I'll surely be dead soon. I focus my eyes on this tiny crack in the ceiling. It starts in the corner by the door and branches out like a lightning bolt, frozen in that one nanosecond of its existence, ending directly above the center of his bed. I try to calm myself down. Try to not be afraid. I focus on him, on the way he breathes. And then I count all the ways he is not like him, the ways this is not like that, the ways I am not like her. And then someone switches off the circuit breaker in my mind and everything just stops, like wires are cut somewhere. I am disconnected, offline. And then things fade to the still, calm, quiet nothingness. I'm vaguely aware when it's over. Vaguely aware of him touching my face. Vaguely aware of words coming out of his mouth. I am alive. I did it. I'm okay.
You were so quiet, baby.
He whispers softly. It's like I've suddenly opened my eyes, except they were already open. And there's that lightning bolt I'm supposed to stare at. So I do.
I didn't know if you... you know?
He runs his fingers up and down my arm. I pull the sheet a little tighter to my body. I can't tell if it feels good or not. I can sense him staring at me, waiting for me to say something, looking hopeful. Yeah, I whisper, trying to sound sure of myself. I know it's the right thing to say. He tries to put his arm around me, I think, but I don't budge. I don't move. I don't know what's supposed to happen next. He seems to study my face longer than feels comfortable, and then finally says,
I don't know. You seem weird or upset or something.
I'm not upset, I contest immediately. Although, as I listen to the edge of panic in my voice, I do sound upset. So I add, softer, really, I'm not.
Why are you acting like this, then?
Like what? What am I doing?
Nothing,
he says quickly. Then why are you getting mad at me? I feel my heart pumping faster again.
No, I mean you're doing nothing.
What do you want me to do? I sit up fast, suddenly aware that he could take something from me that I hadn't given, and apparently I hadn't given something he wanted. I grope around the bed frantically for any article of my clothing. I don't know what else you want from me, but... I'm not going to wait around to find out. Now he sets up, too.
Wait, what are you doing? Are you leaving?
I find my bra. Yes. Can you turn around?
What?
He laughs. Can you not watch me get dressed? My hands are shaking. I can't get the clasp.
Are you serious?
He asks, a dumbfounded grin on his mouth. Yes. Can you please not watch me?
Not watch? What are you talking about? Just wait. Wait a minute, okay?
He says, placing his hand over mine, uncurling my fingers.
Just stop. For just a second. What's happening?
He asks, his eyes locked on mine. I can't say what kind of expression I must be wearing. Indifference, smug hatred, maybe. It's time for me to leave, I say, my voice sounding really flat and unaffected. Is that all right with you? I can taste the meanness in my mouth as the words pass my lips, and I'm not even sure why.
You're mad?
He asks in disbelief.
You're mad at me?
Am I mad? Maybe, but that's not all. I'm sad, and still scared, and confused because I don't understand why I'm still scared, why I'm still sad, why I'm angry. This was supposed to fix things. This was supposed to help.
Wow. Well, this is just perfect, isn't it?
He mutters to himself, smirking but clearly pissed.
What? Are you using this against me or something?
What are you talking about? I'm not using anything against you. He crosses his arms over his stomach, looking oddly vulnerable. I pull my knees into my chest and wrap my arms around them.
Look, I don't know what this is.
He's stumbling over his words.
I mean, is this like some sick game to you or something? Like some test or something? Or is this just what you do with guys? Because that's really fucked up.
He's short of breath, his voice shaking like he's actually upset. Sick game? No. Test? Okay, maybe. I thought I was doing you a favor, okay? I tell him, even though that's a total lie.
Doing me a favor how? By making me feel like I'm forcing you to do something you don't want to do?
Then he adds, quieter,
It's more like the other way around, if you really want to know.
It takes me a second to untangle the insult. Wait, so I'm forcing you? Oh my God, I don't believe this. It feels like my mind is being turned inside out, this situation getting completely backward.
That's not what I'm saying, okay? I mean, you act like...
I have somewhere to be, I lie, interrupting him. I stand up and pull the sheet around me, getting dressed as fast as I can. I'm not going to sit around for this. I pull my shirt on over my head as I step into my shoes. I look down at him, sitting so still and quiet, just watching me. Then he says, not yelling, but almost whispering,
What the hell is wrong with you?
Nothing's wrong with me. I hear the volume of my voice mounting. I feel all my muscles going tense and heavy. I just don't like wondering what you're really thinking, what you really want from me. He starts, but then stops.
How do you think I feel?
Forget it. I try to stay calm even though I'm so furious I'm shaking. I head for the door but turn around to look at him, feeling some kind of pressure building up in my throat. Pulsing words wanting to be screamed. Just fucking forget it. This is the first time I've ever said the F word at another person out loud like this. As I look down at him, staring up at me like I'm insane, I feel my eyeballs boiling in their sockets. And then his image before me begins to blur and wrinkle like a mirage. I have to leave because the tears I know are on their way. And I don't cry in front of boys. Not anymore. Starting now. I storm out of his room. He calls my name once, half-heartedly, like out of obligation, not because he actually wants me to come back. I slam the door behind me as hard as I can. I wipe at my eyes. I walk home. The next day at school, I see him walking down the hall in the midst of his herd. So, of course, I pretend to be absorbed in finding something in the very depths of my locker, pretend not to even notice. They're the kind of people who always have to be drawing attention to themselves, talking just a little too loudly, taking up just that extra bit of space, laughing like goddamn hyenas in that way that always makes me wonder if they're really laughing at me. I hate those kinds of people, and yet I can't quite force myself not to look as they pass. There's no chance of salvaging the wreckage of last night. I watch him say something to this jock guy he walks next to, and then jock guy looks at me. Looks at me as if he's calculating some unknown criteria in his mind. I let my eyes meet Josh's for just a fraction of a second, but I feel like I might die or throw up, so I promptly return to examining the contents of my locker, trying to remember how to breathe.
Hey,
he says, suddenly leaning against the locker next to mine, incredibly close. People were certainly staring now. Hi, I reply, But I feel so stupid, stupid, stupid. The way I screamed at him, the way I laughed, the way he sat on his bed looking at me.